Today's shiur, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Yisrael Bach Nechmeni Amar Shmuel. In way of introduction, yesterday the Gemara taught us that by kitnius, the defining time to be considered that that's the year was grown in, was Hashrasha, when it takes root. The reason the Gemara said Chazal defined it as Hashrasha is because given that beans are not collected all at one time, they're collected a little at a time, if we would follow Lakita, and there was Lakita of some beans in one year, and Lakita of the beans in the next year, it's very likely that we're going to get confused and end up taking Mina Chodesh al Yoshin, Umina Yoshin al Chodesh. So Chazal made it easier and defined it that we should follow by Hashrosh. Ask the Gemara, we have another solution. We should do what Rav Shimon Shazuri said. Rav Shimon Shazuri said, mix them all together. And then Rav Shimon Shazuri says, if we mix something together, we could assume that it will stay in the same proportion. So we have, let's say, 40% this year kitnius, 60% next year kitnius. Rav Shimon Shazuri says, we could safely assume we'll take out 40% for 1 year and 60% for next year, and everything will be fine. Although I saw interesting shaila from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, what will be the halacha if we have 100 beans and we only have to take out, and we have 50 beans from this year and 50 beans from last year? So you have to take a half a bean and half a bean if you have to take, let's say, 1%. So one bean is going to have to be 1 year's, and one bean is going to have to be next year's. So what will Rav Shimon Shazuri say in such a situation? It's a question that he asks. But getting back to the Gemara, he says, the Gemara asked, why don't we combine it? So Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon Shazuri, that would be an approach. But we hold, like the Rabbanan, who hold Ein Bila. They don't feel that items could be blended properly. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Achmeinu Amar Shmuel, Halach Rav Yosef Keeper, Sha'amim Mishim Rav Shimon Shazuri. The halacha does follow Rav Shimon Shazuri. Maskula Rav Zeira asks Rav Zeira, Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi? Did Shmuel say that we follow Rav Shimon Shazuri? V'Amar Shmuel L'chol Ein Bila? We never say that items could get blended together. Chutz Meyayim V'Shemin. The only time we follow Rav Shimon Shazuri's psak, that items blend well, are by liquids. Because by liquids, by definition, given that they're liquids, you could blend them properly. But whenever we're dealing with solids, they're not blended properly. So how can we say we're following that Shmuel follows Rav Shimon Shazuri? And the Chazanish takes this a step further. Chazanish says that even where we do follow Rav Shimon Shazuri, for example, by liquids, and we say that they can be blended together properly, says the Chazanish, that's only when somebody actually blends them well. Just to rely that wine and oil will fall together into a basket or into a jug and assume that they were properly mixed is not enough. We have to actually mix them together. So ask the Gemara, what are we saying that Shmuel Paschal is like Rav Shimon Shazuri? Here we're talking about solids. We're talking about beans. And he doesn't follow Rav Shimon Shazuri by solids. Answers the Gemara, Ishtamitzei Hodam Shmuel. He forgot something else Shmuel said. Hakal Hoylich Ach Gemar Peri. When Shmuel said we're following Rav Shimon Shazuri, Rav Shimon Shazuri said two different dinim. One din he says is that items could get blended together. That's not the psak that Shmuel is following. He's following a different psak, that we always go when the fruit is complete, or whatever we're talking about. So we always follow Gemar Peri. We don't have to come on to Bila. Bila says that we assume that last year's kitnius and this year's kitnius blended properly. It has nothing to do with last year and this year. It's because we follow Gemar Peri, which is another way that we show him say, of saying Lakita. We follow when they were picked. So it doesn't make a difference when it took root. It doesn't make a difference when it was completed. They all were collected together, so that's all this year's. So that's the psak of Rav Shimon Shazuri that Shmuel is following. Says the Gemara. So now we have Shmuel making three statements. One statement is that he holds like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Another statement is that he doesn't think that items could get blended together besides liquids. And another statement is that he follows always Gemar Peri, when the product is completed, or Lakita. So the Gemara's question is, that's what the next piece of Gemara is going to work with, is why did Shmuel, is it necessary for Shmuel to make all three of those statements? Or if Shmuel did not make all three of those statements, if he would have made only one or two of those statements, we would end up in the same place, and then the Gemara's question is, why does he need to make all three? Says the Gemara, Diashmin alok Reb Shimon Shazuri, if Shmuel would have only made a statement that agrees with Shimon Shazuri, we would make the error, which the Gemara actually already did, have a mina. You know what position of Shimon Shazuri Shmuel is following? Mishum de Kasaba Yeshpila, because he holds that everything can be mixed properly and will always end up taking Meiser in the proper proportion. Kamash Malon, Lecholayim Bila. To avoid making that error, Shmuel had to tell us that I'm not following Rav Shimon Shazuri's position regarding Bila. V'yashmin L'cholayim Bila, if he would just take a statement, so why does he have to say anything more than just saying I don't accept Bila? Havamina, Krabon Tzvirlei. I would hold that he holds like the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan say we go Basar Hashrosha. We go when the beans took root. But that's not true, because Shmuel doesn't follow Hashrosha. Kamash Malon, Halach Terav Shimon Shazuri. That it's not like the Rabbanan who say Hashrosha, it's like Rav Shimon Shazuri who follows Gemar Peri. V'yashmin and Hani Tarti. If he would have only told us Halach Terav Shimon Shazuri, and he would also tell us that we don't follow Bila, we would have a question, Shmuel the Shmuel. Because we would assume that what's Rav Shimon Shazuri's position? Bila, that he accepts blending. On the other hand, we would have Shmuel telling us that they don't accept Bila. So how can we understand Shmuel? In one sentence, he's saying he holds like Rav Shimon Shazuri. And we're assuming, what does he mean when he says he holds like Rav Shimon Shazuri? That he follows the concept of Bila. And the next minute, he says, I don't hold the Bila. So to avoid that problem, so Shmuel had to say, what do I hold? He had to be very explicit and saying, I'm following Gemar Peri. So that's the reason he holds that all the beans can be taken Maisa together. Says the Gemara, V'yashmin ha'kol ho'ilach ha'kol Gemar Peri. So Gemara say, just make that statement. I always follow the finishing of the Peri. Says the Gemara, I would make then another mistake. Havamin afilu tavu v'zeisim nami. That by grain and by zeisim, I also follow Gemar Peri. But that we already learned explicitly, that there we follow shlish. By tvuah v'zeisim, we look when it grew a third. So if Shmuel just going to make a blanket statement, ha'kol ho'ilach ha'kol Gemar Peri, I'm going to think it affects everything that grows. That's not true. And there's an interesting shaila the Aruch Lener asks. The Aruch Lener asks, why is the reason, and he helps us understand something better than we understood it till now. Till now we assumed that what the shlish, by Zaysen we said we follow when it grows a third. What do we assume does a shlish mean? So we assume that a shlish means because it grows, that's the completion. So then asked the Aruch Lener, so saying Gemar Peri and Shlish is the same. So what's the Gemara's question? That I may make a mistake and think that if I say Gemar Peri by Zaysim, I'll also follow Gemar Peri. Isn't a Shlish Gemar Peri? Says the Aruch Lener, from here we see that Shlish and Gemar Peri are not synonymous. Shlish means that it's somewhat edible and it's somewhat mature, but to consider the Gemar Peri, you certainly can't consider something that's a Shlish grown, only a third grown Gemar Peri. And there's a very nice raya that the place can bring from Hilchos Shabbos. We know that regarding Bishul and Hilchos Shabbos, there's a concept of Machal Ben Drusoy. And the halacha generally is that something that's cooked a third is Machal Ben Drusoy. Will somebody say that if something's cooked a third, it's considered completely cooked? If your wife's going to give you for dinner something that's a third cooked, you're going to say, this was great? Maybe you will, but most people won't. What do you call it? Why? Because the halacha keeps on saying the machal ben drusoy is considered cooked. Cooked or complete and mature, mature and complete is not the same. Machal ben drusoy is cooked, but it's not completely cooked. Third is mature, but it's not complete. The word mature and complete are not necessarily synonymous when it comes to tvu v'zeis. So Yishmin ha'kol ha'yoch ha'gemar peri, Shmuel would have just made a blanket statement that we always follow Gemar Peri, havamin afilu tvu v'zeisim nami, that I should follow that status by tvu v'zeisim also. Kamash malon, halach k'rab Shmuel, Shmuel Shazari, v'may depolig. That's why he had to go out of the way and say that I'm passing like Rav Shimon Shazuri, only where he disagrees. Where does Rav Shimon Shazuri disagree? He doesn't disagree about Tvu V'Zeisim. Tvu V'Zeisim, everybody agrees we follow a Shlish. His disagreement is by beans, that the Rabban say we follow Hashrasha, and Rav Shimon Shazuri says we follow Gemar Peri. So that's why it's not enough for him to say just HaKol Arilach Ach Gemar Peri. He also has to explicitly say, I follow Rav Shimon Shazuri, which would indicate where Rav Shimon Shazuri made a statement, where he didn't make a statement, I'm following whatever the Mishnayis and Misach, the Maisis and Misach, the Shviyas teach us. Ask the Gemara, Vishmina Lahani Tarti, so let him just make a statement, Hakel Hoylech Acha Gemar Peri, let him make the statement that I lock Rav Shimon Shazuri, which will teach us that where Rav Shimon Shazuri is not arguing, I'll follow whatever the Mishnah teaches us. Where Rav Shimon Shazuri argues, for example, Al Gemara by Kitnius, our follower of Shimon Shazuri, and why do you have to make a statement about Bila? Given that we're explaining in today's shir that Shmuel's following Rav Shimon Shazuri's position has nothing to do with Bila, because Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Bila, to blending by solids. L'chol ein Bila lomeli. Why do you have to make that third statement? Answers the Gemara, Hak mashmalan t'layayim v'shemen yesh Bila. What he's trying to teach us is that if we would just make the statement of Rav Shimon that he follows Rav Shimon Shazuri, and if he would just make the statement that we follow Gemar Peri, we would say that he never subscribes to Bila. But that's not true. Because as we said at the beginning of this year, by liquids, he does agree to Bila. So to make us not make that error, he went out of his way to tell us that normally I don't hold a Bila, but by Yayin V'Shemen, I will subscribe to it. Says the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Glili Oyma. What Rabbi Yosef Glili is coming to address is that we know that the shear by Maisa Yerek is we follow Lakita. It's not the same as it is by a tree, which we discussed, we follow Chanota. We'll discuss that more tomorrow, shear. It's not the same as Tvu of Azasim, that we said the shear is a Shlish, we just said it a moment ago. By vegetables, we follow Lakita. Vegetables are treated differently. And the Gemara wants to understand why. What makes vegetables unique? And as Tosfos points out, certainly the Gemara that we're going to learn now that's going to base it on Psukim is not to be taken literally. Because the whole chiyuv of taking maisa from vegetables is the Rabbanim. So the Psukim cannot be discussing that because the Psukim are Psukim. And we're not talking about something that's a chiyuv deraisa. We're only alluding to an smachta. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Glil Oima. The Pasuk says, so Taisus tells us, and we learned the Gemara just the other day, the real purpose of this pasuk is to teach us what materials schach may be made out of. But we're also going to learn this thing. Ma goyim v'yekev, what's unique about goyim v'yekev? Goyim is straw, yekev is grapes. The rain of last year is what makes them grow. And that's why the year in which they grew a third is the year that they consider to have grown to be mechuyev in meiser. Af kol shegdelam amei shana sha'avra, so to any thing that grows from the ground that has this characteristic that's based on last year's rain, mesasim shana sha'avra, follows that year that should be the year that you mechuyev in meiser. Yotzi rokes. Vegetables don't just rely on last year's rain. Vegetables rely, even as long as they're connected to the ground, whatever rain comes down helps their growth. And the Mefarshim say a very simple proba on how to know the difference. They say once a tree or once produce have rain grow, fall on them, and they grew a third, if you cut that produce or you cut that tree off the ground and you'll replant it, it can't regenerate. Vegetables, however, even if they grew a third, if you'll replant them and the rain falls on them, they can regenerate. So that's another way of explaining what Rabbi Yosef Glili says is the difference between vegetables and all other produce. Rabbi Kiva has a different way of differentiating between vegetables and all other produce. Rabbi Kiva, I'm b'asbecham megarchem yikvecha. Again, using the same pasuk, ma garim v'yekem yichadim shugdelim aroiv mayim. They just need rainwater. And again, the Mefarshim explained this. Not that we're turning into farmers, but this is the way they explain the Gemara. What happens is, the rain comes down, and it creates a sap in the tree. From that sap in the tree, the fruit grows. So all you need is rainwater to produce that sap, and the rain, and the tree is on its own. So they take ma'aser from last year. So to anything that only needs rainwater to make it grow, that that type of produce will, the ma'aser will be from the previous year. To exclude vegetables, which means that it's not adequate, the rainwater. They need to be irrigated with extra water, so they're not similar to produce that just grows based on the rain, and that's why Masar Sunashan Abba. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Glila are using the exact same pasuk to teach us the exact same din. The vegetables we follow the year that they're picked, and other fruits we follow the year where there's chanata, or the year where they grew a third. They just take a little different twist in the same pasuk. But is there any practical halachic nafgmina between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili? That's the Gemara's question. My benayu, Amar Avo, he identifies a nafgmina. The nafgmina is b'tzolam asrisim. Achloik is harishon what b'tzolam asrisim means. Either they're small onions that we stunt their growth, that we leave them small, or they're onions that we let become hard. Or pul amitzrim, there's a type of white bean, ikabenayu. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Shviyos, but Solom has Srisim, these small onions, these hard onions, or Pola Mitzri, Shmonim hem mayim shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, that you stopped watering them for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, Misasim l'shover, they, unlike all other vegetables, we follow the first year, and if the first year is the sixth year, and the second year is the Shemitah year, they will not, they're considered sixth year produce, and they're not affected by Shemitah. Vimlav. And what about the other situation? If the sixth year was a Shemitah year, then they would be considered Shemitah produce. And Asurim b'Shviyas, u'masasrim l'shon haba. We look if the water was held back. So the way Rashi explains it, and Rashi follows a process. The first pshat Rashi says, so this is according to Rabbi Yosef Glili. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, what do we look at? We look at, did we need next year's rainwater, or do we not need next year's rainwater? And these onions didn't use next year's rainwater. So since they didn't use next year's rainwater, they're not like all other vegetables. That's Rashi's first pshat. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Rashi himself says a second pshat. He calls it Pirush HaRumayim, the Pirush I heard from the Roman Rebbes, and he says just the opposite, that this Mishnah only follows Rabbi Kiva. And the Rashba helps us understand why Rashi changed his mind and why Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. He says, if the point is that this didn't rely on next year's rainwater, so why did the Gemara speak about that it was 30 days before Rosh Hashanah and I stopped watering, and I stopped opening it up to water, to rainwater? And what would be if I let it be exposed to rainwater right till Rosh Hashanah? And as Rosh Hashanah comes, I stop exposing it to rainwater. If the point is that the next year I didn't expose it to rainwater, what's the 30 days? So that's why Rashi in the second shot and Tosfos say just the opposite. That this case is going according to Rekiva. What does Rekiva say? Rekiva says we define it, how do we define a vegetable? By something that we expose to extra irrigation. These vegetables certainly are not exposed to extra irrigation. And since they're not exposed to extra irrigation, that's why they're not considered vegetables. Anything else that is exposed to extra irrigation is considered a vegetable. But the Mefarshim and all the Paiskim say this. We can't just say this across the board. That means, let's say I grow tomatoes. And I'll decide that the tomatoes that grew this year, let's use the exact case of the Mishnah, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, I will no longer expose to rainwater, I won't expose it to irrigation, and perhaps they should have the din like these hard onions. Certainly say all the Rishonim that that's not the case. These onions are a type of an onion that were commonly used and were commonly processed that way. So that's why we could say that they don't have the general din of a vegetable. But if I go and decide to plant and grow my tomatoes in some sort of a not usual manner, that won't make difference. A tomato is a tomato, and we follow the general accepted halacha. So we learned in the Mishnah, Becha b'Shvat Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan. The first day of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan. That's Beis Shammai's position. Beis Hillel held Tu b'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan. Just worth repeating, the Paiskim all discuss that once our Mishnah says that Echa b'Shvat or Tu b'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan, the halacha is that it's treated like a yontif, to the point that even though we know that the Ramah says that the halacha is that the day of someone's wedding, Chos Mekala fast, if somebody gets married in Tu B'Shvat, that we pass like Beis Hillel, they don't fast. Magen Avraham even makes an interesting observation. If someone gets married in Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the minig is that they do fast. But Tu B'Shvat, he says, is even more of a yontif than Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And Tu B'Shvat, everybody will agree, says the Magen Avraham, that Chos Mekala don't fast. Although, I did find an Aguda, the Aguda is a Rishon, that says that perhaps one may fast on Tu B'Shvat. He says a very nice Raya. He says certainly Tu B'Shvat is no more of a Yontif than Rosh Hashanah itself. And Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have a Sugya later in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta, that there are days that say you're allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. So if you're allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, Tu B'Shvat shouldn't be more severe than Rosh Hashanah, and should be allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat. But the halacha is, like the Magen Avraham, that even a chas v'kala do not fast on Tu B'Shvat. And similarly, the halacha is that we don't say tachnun on Tu B'Shvat. We don't even say tachnun by mincha on Erev Tu B'Shvat. Though I saw that there's a sefer brings down the minhage v'ramayza. Ramayza was a large kehillah, and it said they did say tachnun Tu B'Shvat. Why? Very interesting explanation he gives there. He says that it was a very large kehillah, and there were constantly chsanim and brisim in this kehillah, so they kamat never said tachnum. So if they not, so he, if Tu B'Shvat, there was no chasin and there was no bris, it was one of the only times they could take the opportunity to say tachnum. So with an exempt that day also, they may never end up saying tachnum. But our meaning is that we don't say tachnum. Everybody doesn't say tachnum on Tu B'Shvat. So we said, Bech B'Shvat was Shana Lilan, my tama. So the way Tosfos explains the Gemara's question is going according to Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel identified Tu B'Shvat as the Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan, so the Gemara wants to know why. Says the Gemara, Amar Belozer, Amar Boishia, Hoyal v'yotzu roiv gish mishana, v'adayin roiv tkufim v'chutz. Which means, in Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara Masechta Tainus explains, it begins to rain on Tezayin Mecheshvin, and it rains for the second half of Mecheshvin, Kislev, Tevis, Shvat, Adar. So by the time we reach Tu B'Shvat, it's almost 3 months from when the rainy season began. There's only 2.5 months left of the rainy season. So that's why it's considered that most of the rain stopped, and that's considered Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanus. The question is, according to Beis Shammai, that they say Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah, so most of the rain hasn't stopped. It's only 2.5 months. We have 3 months left. How will they explain? So again, most Rishonim are saying that the Gemara is addressing Beis Hillel, but we need to understand Beis Shammai. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that according to Beis Shammai, we don't look at the quantity of the rain, we look at the quality. The important rain is at the beginning of the season. So although we have 3 months left of rain, but the first 2.5 months, that's the more important rain. So once 2.5 months of the rainy season pass, the main rain has passed, and it's considered Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanus. Then the Gemara said, V'dayin roif tkufim b'chutz. As we've explained, this is the solar calendar, not the lunar calendar, but our calendar has to square up with that too. This year is divided into 4 seasons. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Here we're saying that Tu B'Shvat, most of the winter is still to come. Says the Ramai Kama, what's he saying? Says the Ramai Kama, Af B'Shvat Tkufim B'Chutz. Even though one could say most of the winter is still coming, still, since most of the rainy season is over, Hoyo V'Yotzu Rav Gishmi Shana, Tu B'Shvat is considered Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanus. Tana Abon, says the Gemara, Ma'is Rav Kiva, there's a story with Rav Kiva, Shalikat Esrik B'Echa B'Shvat. He collected an Esrik in Echa B'Shvat, v'nag b'shnei esurim. So the simple way of explaining the Gemara, and this is why we're going to start now the sugya, he wasn't sure who to follow, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. If it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so it's a new year. If it's Beis Hillel, it's not yet a year. And let's say we're going from the second year to the third year, as we've been explaining. In the second year, you take Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. In the third year, you take Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. So he took both. And Tosfos explains, the very important Tosfos, quotes of Yerushalmi, Tosfos says, sometimes being too frum is dangerous. Why? He says, the Yerushalmi says, Hamarbe b'maisroisof, somebody takes too many maisros, mekalkel, can make worse than good. Why? Let's think it through. Let's say we took ready the truma, we took ready the maaser rishon, they're off the table. We have 100 pounds of produce left. And we have to take maaser sheni. We don't know if you have to take maaser sheni or maaser ani. So the person's going to want to be frum, he'll take both. So what's he going to do? He'll take 10 pounds off as maaser sheni. And now he has left how much? 90 pounds. He takes off 90, 10% of 90 is 9 pounds. And he'll give that for maaser ani. But let's say this year would have been the year of Maaser Ani. He shortchanged the Ani a pound. So what did Rabbi Akiva do, says the Yerushalmi? What he did was, he separated 10 pounds as Maaser Sheni. Then, after he separated those 10 pounds as Maaser Sheni, he redeemed them. Because the halacha is Maaser Sheni can be redeemed, take the money to Yerushalayim. And then that fruit, he gave to the Ani as Maaser Ani. And that's what he did. So I saw Gvaldi Gakasha from Tori Evan. The Gemara says in many places, that when somebody takes Meiser Misafik, he has to do the Afrosha, he has to do the actual separation, but he doesn't have to give it to the Levi, or he doesn't have to give it to the Ani. Why? Because I'm Meitzim Chavera, all of Araya. Prove to me that I have to give it to you, and I'll give it to you. So now, ask the Tori Evan, why is Tosfos in the Yerushalmi telling me that he took this 10 pounds, in our example, separated them as Meiser Sheni, redeemed them, and then gave them to the Ani? He should tell the Ani, Hamoitzim Chaver, all of Araya, prove to me that this is a year that I'm obligated to give Maaser Ani. So Tori Evan quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. He says that the Yerushalmi says that even though throughout Halacha, one of the most principal klolim and shas is Hamoitzim Chaver, all of Araya, that's not when it comes to poor people. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Ani v'rosh hatzdiku, whenever there's a question about giving something to an Ani, we always give the pauper the benefit of the doubt, and there's no rules of Hamoitzim Chaver Olav Araya. And that's why, even though he could have perhaps successfully argued, prove to me that this is a year of Maaser Ani, and otherwise I don't have to give it to you, Hamoitzim Chaver Olav Araya, we don't say that by Aniyim. How did we have a doubt? That's the Gemara's question. So says the Gemara, he took off Echik Kedivir Beis Shammai, Vechik Kedivir Beis Hillel. Because you had a doubt. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehudaimer, Loi Minig Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Nagba, that wasn't his doubt. And Minig, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lozer Nagba. His doubt evolved around Machlokes, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lozer. What is that Machlokes? The Tanan, a famous Mishnah, the Gemara Masech, the Kedusha, at the beginning quotes this Mishnah. Esrig Shavu Le'ilam Gimel Drachim. Esrig is like a tree in Halacha in three ways. Uli Yerek B'derek Echad, and like a vegetable in one way. Shavali ilam begimel drachim. In what ways is it similar to a tree? La'ola, as far as Ola, that we follow the year of Chanita when we count the years of Ola, the same when we count the years of Revai, and the same when we count for Shemitah. That the year in which it blossoms, it has the Chanita, that's the year that we consider it grew. U'l'yerek b'derek echad, shevishasti kitosa yeshurei. That by, we treat an esrog tree not like a regular tree, that by tree we're saying we follow chanota, by tree we follow when we collect it, when we pick it like a vegetable. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, Esrig Shavali Ilan Chodover. Esrig is like an Ilan regarding all areas of Halacha, and we follow the chanota. And that was, says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Kiva's question. Do we follow in this Esrig tree that he was collecting, do we follow the chanota, which was in the previous year? Will we follow the Lakita, which is in this year? Ask the Gemara, Omi Avrinin Katrei Chumri, is this acceptable to follow both Chumras? Going back to the first way of explaining it, that he was unsure, do we follow Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Vatanya, Loi Lamalocha Kedivir Beis Hillel. There's a famous Braisa in Masechet Erevin. The Alocha is always like Beis Hillel, but right to last Kedivir Beis Shammai Oisa. Kedira Beis Halosa. If somebody wants to follow Beis Shammai, he may. If somebody wants to follow Beis Hillel, he may. So the Gemara Masechta Erevin asks the obvious question. First, we says Halach Kedira Beis Hillel, that the Halach is like Beis Hillel. And the next line is you could do what you want. So how do we explain these two self-contradictory lines? So the Gemara Masechta Erevin answers: Kan Koydem Baskol, Kan Lacha Baskol. The line that was says before the Bas Koel came in a Shemayim and said that the Halach is like Beis Hillel. Once the Bas Koel came from heaven and told us the Halach is Beis Hillel, that's the first line. Loilam Halach ke Beis Hillel. And the Mefarshim asked, we don't follow a Bas Koel. Loi b'Shemayim hi. So the answer is that they really knew that the Halach is like Beis Hillel anyway, because Beis Hillel was the Rabbim. They were majority. But since there was so many areas in Halacha, machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Bas Koel reinforced our position that we should follow Beis Hillel. Continues the Braisa. Bikula Beis Shammai, Bikula Beis Hillel. If somebody chooses all of the kulas of Beis Shammai and all the kulas of Beis Hillel, he's a Rasha. Mechumer Beis Shammai, Mechumer Beis Hillel. If he picks all the chumras, all of our curse of Omer, v'ksil b'choy shechaylech. He's a fool. He takes all the chumras. Elo, ik Beis Shammai bekulayim bechumrayim. Either we always have to follow Beis Shammai for kulo chumra, ik Beis Hillel bekulayim bechumrayim. But here we see, we can't follow both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So how did he do this? So Rashi qualifies this braisa very importantly. He says when the braisa teaches us that we can't follow Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all their chumras, it's only when they're dealing with the same subject. And he gives a beautiful example. It's actually the example the Gemara Masechta Erevin says. We know that if the entire spine of a mace is in the house, there's a tumas oil. What's going to be the halach if it's missing vertebrae? The missing vertebrae. How many vertebrae does it have to be missing that should not be considered a complete spine anymore? According to Beis Hillel, one vertebrae. It's already not considered a spine. There won't be any tumas oil. Beis Shammai says, no, it has to be missing two vertebrae. So here we have Beis Hillel being a mekel, Beis Shammai being a machna. But the very same machloikis is relevant to a different area in halacha. Regarding an animal, if an animal is missing vertebrae from the spine, it may be a trefa. Here Beis Hillel is a machmer, that as soon as it's missing one vertebrae, it's considered a trefa. Beis Shammai holds that it has to be missing two vertebrae, and only then it's a trefa. So what the Gemara says Rashi, that you can't follow Chumr Beis Shammai and Chumr Beis Hillel, is if somebody's going to want to be machmer regarding the vertebrae of an animal, and say that it has to be missing two vertebrae, that the house shouldn't be tar, and has to be missing, to be treif, it has to only be missing one. That's a stira. But if they're two separate areas of halacha that have no connection to each other, There we could follow opposing opinions. There's a beautiful gra. The gra says the pasuk at the end of Parsha Shemini, which is the end of the Parsha Macholos Asuras. The pasuk makes a statement: L'havdol ben atomei uben ator or ben achaya hanacheles or ben achaya she'ena nacheles. Ask the gra. The pasuk isn't consistent. Hatomei v'ator. Hatomei refers to the animal you're not allowed to eat. And then the pasuk says, "Uben achaya nachelas, uben achaya she'ena nachelas." If the pasuk were to remain consistent, the pasuk should say, "Uben atomei ve'enator, uben achaya she'ena nachelas, uben achaya nachelas." The pasuk's not consistent. Says the Gra, the pasuk is teaching us Beis Shammai's din. Lahavda ben atomei. This animal is still tomei. Why is it tomei? Because it's only missing one vertebrae. But it's achaya nachelas. But it's not treif according to Beis Shammai. So the pasuk is perfectly consistent. So the question is, back to Beis Hillel, how could he have acted like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel? Here it's one subject, and they're arguing, you can't take both. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Kiva, Gemara is topically. He had a kshayla, v'layada Beis Hillel becha b'shvat. He knew that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, but he didn't know what Beis Hillel holds. So there's a machlokes Tosfos and Rashi what the halacha is. That means, according to Tosfos, what happened here is, he didn't know who the halacha is like. And since he didn't know who holds, he didn't know who the halacha is like, what Beit Sham and Beis Hillel hold. And if he didn't know the halacha, he could be machm. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi and Ritva disagrees. That's not a legitimate reason not to know. If you don't know, go learn. Here, the problem Rabbi Akiva had was he didn't know what the proper girsa was. He knew that Beis Hillel, he knows the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but he doesn't know what Beis Hillel holds. And when he doesn't know what the proper girsa is, that's when he could hold like Beis, he could be machma like Beis Sham and Beis Hillel. And I saw a beautiful vart based on this. The Mefarshim asked, the halacha of taking meiser from an esrig, from a tree, is only drabbanon. We have a rule, sofik drabbanon lekula. So if sofik drabbanon lekula, how come he's being machmer? So they answer, based on what we just said, when do we say sofik drabbanon lekula? When we know the din, we know the proper girsa, and now we have a shaila. So by drabbanon we can be makel. But when there's a shaila, what is the proper girsa, then we don't say sofik drabbanon lekula. Shlomo Zalman Orbach gives a different answer to this question, a very nice answer. He says like this, if by going lekula we'll end up never taking meiser, we don't say sofik drabbanon lekula. What do we want to say? Sofik drabbanon lekula. So I don't know if we follow Beis Sham, I don't know if we follow Beis Hillel. If so, on this fruit that grows between, that I pick between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, I'll never take meiser from. That the result of a sofik drabbanon lekula should be that I don't do anything ever, that's not an acceptable result. Rav Yosef Yehudaima, loy minig Beis Sham and Beis Hillel nagba. That wasn't his question. We go back to what we learned on top of the Amid. El minig Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer Nogba. His question was Rabbi Lezer and Gamliel. Bech b'shvat k'Beis Shammai Nogba. So ask the Gemara. He was acting like Beis Shammai. You know, the way we're saying is, let's explain this better. He was following Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The only question was, do we follow the year it grew, had Chanota, or do we follow the year it was picked? Ask the Gemara, are we going to attribute that Rabbi Kiva held like Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, the way to understand what happened was like this. So as Rashi explains, one of the unique attributes of an Esrig is that it could remain on the tree for many years, unlike other fruit. So here, it was on the tree from before Tu B'Shvat of the previous year. And now, he only picked it up on Rosh Chodesh Shvat of this year. Ubedinhu, and had nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Ubedinhu afil kadmu came. And the question was, it got ready last year, Tu B'Shvat, the Chanita was before last year's Tu B'Shvat, and it remained on the tree for a long time. Ubedinhu afil kadmu came. And really the question of Gemara could have been, not because of Rosh Chodesh Shvat. What would have been if he picked it on Kislev? Wrong before Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The question is, do I follow when it was Chaynet, when it blossomed, which was before last year's Tu B'Shvat? Do I follow when it was picked, which is this year? Just why did the Gemara speak about a case that he picked it on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Because that's exactly what happened, that it happened on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But Rosh Chodesh Shvat is not a meaningful date. The point is that the Chanita was in 1 year, and the Lakita was another year, and the Shaila was, do I follow Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Lezer? Ravina Amma, Kroich Fatani, relearned the whole Gemara. Lo Yech B'Shvat Hoyo. It had nothing to do with the first day of Shvat. El Tu B'Shvat Hoyo. The question wasn't about Beis Sham Beis Hillel. Clearly, he follows Beis Hillel. The question was Minig Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer Nogba. We follow what do you call it? Do we follow Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer? Do we follow the year that it was Chaynet, or do we follow the year of Lakita? So the Turi Evan and the Aruch Laner ask an obvious question. The Gemara is saying that he couldn't follow both Gamliel, Beis Sham and Beis Hillel. Why? Because if he follows Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, he's a ksil. He's a fool. Right? Because he's a fool because you can't follow two contradictory positions. And why could he follow Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer? The Gemara doesn't ask, and how did he follow both Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer? He doesn't know if he should go Basel Chanota or Basel Akita, and that's why he was Machmer. The Gemara could ask the same question. How can you follow Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer? Aren't they contradictory? Gamliel follows the Chanita, Rabbi Lezer follows the Lakita. So the Torah Eved answers a beautiful teretz. He says like this: following Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is contradictory. Beis Shammai says we follow Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Beis Hillel say we follow Tu B'Shvat. So you can't have both. It's either or. So you have to make a decision. Following Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, what are the implications of following Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar? If you follow Rabbi Gamliel, you'll follow the year of Chanita, so let's say it was the second year, and you'll give Maisa Sheni. And if you follow Rabbi Elazar, you'll follow the year of Lakita, and you'll give Maisa Ani. Giving Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani at the same time is not contradictory. And he points out, even though we don't find in the Halacha any year that they gave both Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani, that's because we don't find such a situation. But somebody giving both Maisris, especially according to the way Tosfos described on Amun Aleph it was done, there's nothing wrong with that. What did we say before we don't follow two positions? We don't follow two positions that can't live together. The giving Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani in one year can live together. And that's why it's not considered a situation of Chumre Beis Shammai and Chumre Beis Hillel. Right, giving it to Tosfos Kesher. So now Tosfos becomes more important. Now Tosfos becomes much more important. Any other way might have been more of a contradictory situation. Here I only took 10%, and I did it.